Hebrews, we're going to chapter 3. Yeah, you know, we've spent the last couple of weeks thinking about Hebrews here, and I wanted to just go over one little section here and then bring you back to what God is talking about. In chapter 3, in breaking in my new Bible. So, here's chapter 3. It says in verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Go to Exodus 16, please. Just keep your thumb there in Exodus. Your God, he says to us, beware, lest there be any in any of you that same evil heart of unbelief. They gave us an example. We can go back and we can read what went on with the children of Israel, what went on with their lives, what happened, what God was doing. And I wanted to sort of give you a brief overview of that. But I guess the title of this teaching is, the God is the one who delivers. We just have to trust him. He's the one who delivers. In Exodus, if you go back, don't keep your finger there. We're going to pop around a few places. But Exodus chapter 2, go to. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, this is when God calls out Moses. He calls Moses, and he's got a job for Moses to do. And the reason he's got this job, it says in verse 20, Exodus 2, again, in 23, it says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God hath respect unto them." He did this because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, that covenant is in Genesis chapter 15. Go there for a moment. In this section of Genesis 15, we're not going to read the whole thing, but this is where Abraham in the 14th chapter really proves that God is his God. And he ends up giving tithes to Melchizedek because of the deliverance that he has received. In doing so, he tells the kings that were there that, say, "Oh, you keep the stuff. Just give us the people back." He says, "I don't want nothing from you people, because nobody is going to say that they made me rich. I serve the Lord God alone." Just that is incredible. But He wasn't even going to allow anybody to say that they blessed him. Only my God is the one who's blessed me and done for me. And when he says that, God says to him, because you've done this, you're going to have a seed. You're going to have a son. And you're going to inherit the land. And it says here, you can read the 15th chapter yourself, in verse 12 of chapter 15, it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of a great darkness. A horror of a great darkness. This is special. It's not just a nap. Fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall be afflict them 400 years. And also the nations whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. God tells Abram what's going to happen to his seed after him, his people after him. And he gives him something that's going to happen 400 years in the future. What's going to happen to them? All right? And he makes this prophecy. Now, back in Exodus, all right, go back to Exodus, and he said when he heard the children of Israel crying out, he remembered his covenant with Abraham. This is what he's referring to. And, you know, they come out basically on the day, you know, when God said, God doesn't forget. His promises are sure. His covenants are absolute. They're absolute. And I go back to Exodus 3 here. Exodus 3, verse 18. It says, and they shall hearken unto thy voice. This is God talking to Moses. Going to hearken unto thy voice, and shall come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. In other words, old King James, it's going to take an awful lot to get him to let you go. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass when you go out, you shall not go out empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. What God said 400 years earlier was that you're not going to go out empty. And they literally did spoil. They took the wealth of Egypt with them. They had so much wealth with them. And by the way, when they left, there was not one feeble knee among them, it says in Psalms. That every single one of them was healed completely before they went. There was no bad knees or bad backs, okay? The old guys were moving along just as well as the young ones. And it was God that did this, that delivered his people, that helped them. Now, I can't possibly go through what went on during this entire time. But then what happens here is God shows Moses how you want a class on how to do miracles. Would you all like to know how to do a miracle? I mean, this is the class. He does this, Exodus chapter 4. This is, it's really, God's classes are really short. I mean, like, short. In Exodus chapter 4, he tells Moses how he's going to do the job. And we'll start in verse 12 of 4. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, send somebody else, Moses says. Please send somebody else. All right. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth. And with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what you shall do. So God is going to give him the words to speak, and God's going to tell him exactly what to do. And since he's got a speech impediment of some kind, Moses can't talk. You know, I don't know what his speech impediment was, but he had one. So he says, well, you're uncomfortable publicly speaking? I don't care. You tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron will do the job. I know he can speak well. You always wonder why God didn't fix his speech impediment, you know, but that's God. A lot of times he calls people that haven't got what it takes in a worldly sense to do things. But regardless, God would tell him what to say. Say it. Tell Aaron. Aaron will speak it forth. And then I will teach thee what to do. In this record, he calls him out and he says, what's in your hand? And he's got a rod, a stick. And he says, well, throw it on the ground. Okay? And it turns into a snake. And then he says, pick it up by the tail. It turns back into a stick. So how do you do a miracle? Do what you're told. That's how one's done. Was Moses expecting to do a miracle? Was Moses expecting the snake to show up? Was he expecting it to turn back to a stick? He didn't know nothing. And I said that with as much Brooklyn as I can muster up. He didn't know nothing. Do exactly what you are told and watch God do the miracle. Speak the words that he says to speak. Don't add one more. Don't take one away. And do the actions he tells you to do. That's the whole class, guys. You've got God and Christ in you. You've got the Spirit of the Lord within you. And if you got any confidence whatsoever about that, then you do exactly what this lesson is, and you walk with the power, because it's got nothing to do with you. Got nothing to do with you. Got brains. Got nothing to do with you. Stutter. It's got nothing to do with nothing about you. God is the one, and he did this with Christ. Christ was the most. Our Lord and Savior spoke the words that he told him to speak, and he did the actions that God gave him to do. And he says, of myself, I can do nothing. This is the class you've just learned how to perform miracles. That's it. You don't have to be super holy or have brains. You just have to be able to do exactly what you're told and carry out the actions that he tells you to do. So after the lesson on miracles, he sends them back. Now remember, Moses has been in hiding here, keeping sheep for 40 years. All right? And God sends him back with Aaron. And he shows up to Pharaoh, and it's a new king, by the way. He doesn't know him. He sends and says, let my people go. And he says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? What are you talking about? I mean, the man has got every reason to say exactly what he says. He don't know who Yahweh is. And he says, just let us out to worship our God. 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Just let us out to worship him. I mean, he didn't say let us out of slavery. God just sets this guy up. So he says to him, let us go out so we can worship. He says, no. Then you get the snake thing. Then after that, he takes his staff and he touches the water and the rivers turn to blood. Remember that one, that plague? And, you know, and by the way, the magicians, this is something I wanted to point out to you. The magicians that stood next to Pharaoh, they were his spiritual cohort. They threw down their sticks and their sticks turned to snakes too. They're going to go tit for tat here for a little while. So you want to know if the adversary has got power and abilities and can do things and he wants to go toe-to-toe? Well, pay attention. So the magicians, they throw down their staffs. They turn to snakes. The only difference is Moses' staff swallowed them. But still, they could do. Touch the river, turn it to blood, right? The magicians did the same. We can take water and turn it into blood. Okay? Then, after the blood came the plague of frogs. Each time Pharaoh's heart's hardened, this guy doesn't want to get it. He's not going to do it. Turn the frogs. Then the lice. And when you got to the lice, then all of a sudden the magicians couldn't do what God was doing. And the magician said to Pharaoh in chapter 8, verse 19, this is the Lord. You can look it up yourself. This is God. Then Pharaoh, he just gets his heart hardened some more. So then the flies come out. And God separates the plagues between Goshen, where his people are, and the rest of Egypt. So the flies, the swarms of flies, they show up. Yeah, but Goshen's got no flies. Then after that, the cattle. All the Egyptian cattle get diseased and die. Many, almost all of them, I think. And not one of the cattle in Goshen dies. Now, this is a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm not painting a big, terrible, horrible picture, but everything? 7 days, there's no water to drink? You got these flies that are like so thick you can't breathe? You got every one of your cattle drop dead? Some kind of disease? Then you got, and each time Pharaoh says to Moses, I'll take this away. You know, I'll change my mind. I'll confess. Sometimes he says, I've sinned. And yet he retracts it every time. People like to play God. You know, well, this is past, so maybe there's no more here. You know, we dealt with that. Why do I got to give in now? Let me just go ahead. The heck with God. You know, it's almost, you want to talk about what a hard heart looks like. Look at Pharaoh. He gets the word. He sees the negative. He comes back and says, oh, I'm sorry. You know, take it away and I'll let you go. He lies. He lies. You can't, a person who lies, you can't trust. People who do are just, but regardless, the cattle die, then the boils show up. Everybody gets these boils covered. And I love it. It says the magicians got the boils. Magicians knew that they were outmatched. They knew that they were dealing with a greater God than the gods of Egypt. This is one of the points God's going to make in this time. He says, I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt. He's not talking about the stupid statues. He's talking about the spirits that are running the show. And we still got them out there today. Saying, I think most people are completely ignorant. Either that or they're like, oh, this is like a bad horror film, you know, where the mummy walks out in Egypt, you know, and they cursed and stuff like that. They put it in the movies nowadays. It's nothing to play with, and yet they're still there. And it's nothing to be feared because who is your father? Learn to walk with him. So the magicians get the boils. And just read this one, 9:14. Exodus 9:14. Like I said, I couldn't. I read the whole thing last night. The 19 chapters. Just to go over it again, but chapter 9, verse 14. These pages stick together. And it says, for I will at the time send all my plagues upon thee, plagues upon thy heart and upon thy servants and upon the people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, for thou shalt be cut off from the earth. There is none like him. One of the major points that God, in Romans, it says that God set up Egypt just so he could do this. He allowed them to become the most powerful. He allowed them to be locked in the spiritual. He did the whole thing so he could prove that there is none like him. There is none other God. They're all compared to me. Now, he told Abraham, this is all going to go. This is where your kids are going to end up. Right? You know, life goes on. I want you to think about this thing, too. During this time, Abraham's just living his life, living in a tent. God promises him this. Shows him the future history of his family 400 years in the future. And he goes back to living his life, hanging out in the tent, you know, taking care of his sheep, taking care of his household. You know, God blesses him. He walks with God, but everything goes his kids come and go. You've read the Bible. Some of you have seen the major events that happen. But daily life is still daily life, right? I mean, how did they end up in Egypt? You remember Joseph? You got this great famine, right? God knew it was coming. They would end up going. You know, they sold out their brother, and God set it up that this brother was going to save their lives because he was going to become second in command of Egypt. Yet he lived an entire crappy life. His entire life. You think about living his life. All right, I'm just going back here, and I'm just trying to paint the picture. Here he is. He's a young boy. He's the favorite in the house. He's got all these brothers, older brothers, that hate him. Hate him. They hate him enough to beat the heck out of him and want to kill him. And then instead of killing him, hey, let's just sell him into slavery. And he goes. He's sold into slavery. And he's a boy. He's the younger at the time. Benjamin was after him. Sold into slavery, serves in the Egyptian's house, Potiphar. The woman of the house makes a move on him and falsely accuses him of rape. Goes to jail, spends years in jail. Years and years. God's still with him, walking with him, helping him. Remember the baker and the cupbearer? They both end up in jail. Everybody ends up in jail in Egypt. But all you got to do is tick off the wrong people. And he says, you're going to die and you're going to be restored back to your job. And the guy forgot the fact that he gave him that revelation, and he stayed in there for years more. And then when the king, the Egyptian king, the Pharaoh, had that dream. Oh, I remember. Oh, geez. I remember my... there was a guy there that told me the interpretation of my dream. This is years later. Joseph spent the entire front part of his life just so God could set him up to save the rest of these people who don't deserve to be saved, except for the covenant that God made with Abraham. Because when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And these folks still don't need, in my book, they're still not exactly on the top echelon of the people who ought to be saved. But regardless, God is doing this for several reasons. The Christ line is coming through this group. Okay? God promised Abraham that he was going to inherit the earth and his children. Those are the believing children. He tells us that later. Not all of them. Because we're going to get to the 40 years and not everybody entered into the promise. Only those that believed. There was two guys out of the original group. Two out of 600,000 men that left Egypt and their families. See, God is doing this. He's going to prove that he is God. So you got the locusts that show up. Then you got darkness that you can't even see your hand in front of your face for 3 days. Then the firstborn. And then Pharaoh finally says, whoa, just get out of here. And then guess what? He changes his mind after they leave. Now, you're one of the children of it. You're watching all of this. First of all, Moses starts talking and you get your work doubled. No more straw to make your same tally of bricks. So they're cursing Moses. I mean, don't expect, you know, just because you're the prophet sent to deliver the people, don't expect to be happy about it. They never are. And then they get to watch God do all of this to the Egyptians. They get to see it firsthand. They get to see all the Egyptians' cattle die. They get to see the hail, the fire that comes down, the locust. Everything eats everything except for their properties. They get to see all of this. And it's incredible that even after seeing all these things, that they don't really get it. And then shortly after this, they're going to give him big trouble when we get to 16. So you got the Passover. God saves all those who believe his word. Put the doorpost, the lentil, the blood passes over. God says he gives them a new calendar. He teaches them more about him again. And then they leave. And then God sends them the route that's going to go to the Great Sea, the Red Sea. He doesn't send them to the land of Philistines. And he says because when they see war, they're going to lose their courage. So he sends them where he boxes them in against the Red Sea. And I think you all know what happens. Again, Moses, lift up your stick over the water. And the sea splits. What does Moses have to do for the miracle? Lift up his stick over the water. Can you lift up a stick? It's not Moses' power that does it. It doesn't take a strain. Just lift your stupid stick up over the water. That's what I mean. The drama you see in the movies, the nonsense. To do a miracle is as simple as picking up a stick and holding it over the Red Sea. Something any 5-year-old can do. When God says it, there's the difference. When you literally carry out what he says, that's the difference. You are his. It is God that works within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, it says in Philippians. What's our job? Just do exactly what he says. Believe exactly what he says. Speak exactly what he told you. And do the action that he tells you. Chapter 16. So they come across the Red Sea. And God says, I am going to get me honor with Pharaoh and with Egypt. I'm going to get me honor. They are going to know that I am the Lord. And there is none other. So the children of Israel cross on dry land. And the Egyptians, they get up. These guys got a set. They really do. They chase after. Pharaoh is so hard, so hardened. He sends his chariots to chase after these guys. And God, I love it. The children of Israel walk in across on dry land. And God, when they get to the middle, they get in the middle between the sea, he knocks the wheels off their chariot. I love it. They all got flat tires. So now they can't even turn around and get out. And then he covers them and drowns them all. And there's not one that escapes, it says. Not one. Chapter 15, Moses starts singing praises unto the Lord. At the end of that, in chapter 15, verse 22, after Moses sings his praise and Miriam starts to dance, she's a prophetess, by the way. I don't know what she did, but she's a prophetess, since God says so. And later on, she's going to get in trouble because she thinks she's a real hotshot. But that's for another day. In verse 22, it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went down out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now we got 3 days. Just seen all of this. We just lived through all of this. I mean, this is, right? I mean, my heart would be beating if I'd be walking through the Red Sea on dry ground and I got walls of water on either side. Do you think you'd be having a little heart palpitation? You might. Okay? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Hey! And they start complaining, you know, murmuring. It's, who is this guy? What are we going to drink here? And he cried unto the Lord. Moses goes to the Lord. He goes to Yahweh. And the Lord, now remember, they're all just coming out. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Whatever tree this was, I know the what do you call it? People go try to find the tree and put it in a little bottle and sell it to you for pills. But again, God shows him something. It's probably just a regular tree. But God says, he shows him, do this. He does it. Miracle. It ain't the tree that changed the water. It's the miracle. And Moses just did what God told him to do. Do you get it? And they made him, he made for them statutes and ordinances, and he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, and I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Yahweh that healeth thee. One of God's beautiful redemptive names, they call it, titles. He's the one that heals you. What does he require? You do what he says. Believe him. Do what the word says. And then they came. And they came to Edom, or Elam, and there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped by the waters. And they took their journey from Edom, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, for the 15 days. Now, 15. Three. Cross the thing. 15. Of the second month after their departure. So the 15th days after the second month after their departure. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Here they are again. Now, they're real young, aren't they? They got about, they're about as spiritual as a brick. So, they start murmuring against Aaron and against Moses. And the children of Israel said, would to God had he died by the hand of the Lord? And he said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to be full. Now, they're saying, oh, don't you remember how good it was in Egypt? How good it was in Egypt. We could eat bread to the full. Is that the memory that you would have if you were in slavery? You make straw with no bricks, make bricks with no straw and get beaten. Oh, it was so. And they're murmuring against Moses and Aaron. This is people, you know, go ahead and keep complaining. Doesn't get you too far in life. So he says, we were by the, and they brought us forth, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You brought us out here to kill us all with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. Now, God is being awful gracious, isn't he? Remember I said, there is a level of patience here. There's a learning curve that he expects them to come to. And they are just come out. They're like 15 days, 18 days. It's the second month. Point is, they're still young. So God isn't, boom, later on that comes. After 10 or so times here of them doing this kind of stuff, there comes a point when they're about to go in Numbers chapter 14 that they don't believe. And they curse the land and say, it's too big for us. We can't overcome it. The Lord. And God's, that's it, Moses. I'm done with these people. I'll kill them all as one man, and I'll raise up children unto you of these rocks. And Moses says, Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. Don't do that. Because, again, it was to prove that God Almighty was God. And he pardoned them as Moses asked. But, verse 4, and said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. I'm doing this to prove and to find out whether they're going to do what I say or not. And you know the manna comes down, right? And they say, what is it? It's manna, which means, what is it? That's what manna is. What is it? That's what it's called. The what is it stuff. You know, I get those, you remember the little vanilla cookies that came in a box, Nestle's? That's what I always think of in my mind when I little flat vanilla cookies, they just melted in your mouth. This is what I think of, the stuff that fell down from heaven. Because it says it was a little thing. It was round, had a honey flavor to it. What is it? God's going to feed them for the next 40 years with this stuff. He sends quail coming through the camp. He provides for them everything that they need. He's willing to do it all and willing to show them, I'm the God that heals you. If you do what my word says, I'll heal you. If you do what my word says, I'll provide for you. Look at verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw this, they said one to another, what is manna? It is manna, for they wist not what it was. Whenever you come up with a new word in the Bible, like manna, and then you get the definition right there, because they didn't know what it was. That's why they called it manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. And he tells them, you gather, and he gives them the commandment for the Sabbath, right? And so he says, every day you go out, you get an omer for a person, okay? An omer is a tenth of an ephod later on, it says. Point is, everybody gets what they need. As much as you want, you pick up, you put it in your home, you go home, you eat that day. For every person. At night, don't keep it until the next day because it gets worms and it stinks. Again, this was to prove them. Take everything you want, eat it all, and have nothing left. You pick it up again the next day. I provide for you every day. The Lord's Prayer, our daily bread. God still wants us to live that way. Do you really trust him with everything in your life? Do you really believe he'll be there tomorrow? Same test. But to get back to these guys, so and on the sixth day, they pick up twice as much as they need so that they don't have to go out on the seventh day. Because God wanted to keep the Sabbath holy. And again, there were people who got up and went out anyhow. And the Lord got angry. When are you going to believe me? When are you going to do what you're told? See, this is the lessons that come all the way out in 16:35. God is willing to provide, to take care of. It says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. And they did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And they ate this stuff. And God provided for these people. After they sinned, he provided for them. He knows you're going to sin. He provides for us after we sin. Let's be less stubborn. Let's be, you know, he's given you and I everything. I didn't know when I was a young boy that God would give me his spirit. I didn't know that he would teach me his word. I didn't know any of the blessings that were going to come my way. But he knew, he provided. He asked me to do one thing in my life. Stay faithful, obey, do what he says. And he'll work within any person, in any capacity, to get his will done. Because God's ultimate will is going to come to pass whether you and I enjoy this thing or not. All the people around us, they can join and praise the Lord and have prayers answered and have a relationship with Almighty God and walk by his power and his blessings. Or they can just go along their lives and do whatever they're doing, like most of them are. Not paying attention. Not really caring about anything, or about God for sure. And they'll go about their lives. And one day it'll come to an end, and that'll just be the end. But they won't ever enjoy eternity. They won't enjoy the promised land. We got the promised land in front of us. The return of our Lord, new bodies, new minds, forevermore with the Lord. They had the promised land in front of them. It's the same All you have to do is obey, you get in. You don't obey, you don't go get in. Lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief, it said in Hebrews, in departing from the living God. Our sojourning, this life, however long it lasts, some of us more, some of us less, but however long it lasts, we stay faithful so that we can enter into his rest. Because that's the point of this test of life. That's what I wanted to share with you.